Judiciary. We're meeting May 7, 1987 at 3 p.m. in Hearing Room 343. Today we'll have public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 733, 870, 1016, 565, House Bills 2550, 2551, Senate Bill 913, and Senate Bill 597. We also have a work session on House Bill 2186, 2558, 2559, and Senate Bill 631.
Come to order at 3:09 p.m. Which one's he on?
First one, 733.
Start with Senate Bill 733, Senator Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Senator Frank Roberts. I think you have had distributed to you some amendments to Senate Bill 733-1, and I want to include those in my comments here. 733 is the motivation for introducing this was to encourage citizens not to refrain from registering to vote so that they would not be on a jury selection list. It's my hope to include more people on the jury selection list so that the jury selection list is not, in most counties, primarily restricted to registered voters, because the effect of that is, of course, to cause some people to feel they don't want to register to vote because they don't want to have to be obligated to serve on the jury. So it would propose to expand the list of citizens eligible for selection as jurors in circuit, district, and justice courts. This would be done by adding to the elector list the Department of Motor Vehicles list of citizens over 18 who hold a current driver's license or have had a license denied, canceled, suspended, or revoked, or have been issued identification cards. So it's a recognition that most of the citizens in our society will want to have the privilege of voting, of driving, and therefore they will be included in the privilege of serving on juries. The as proposed in Senate Bill 731-3-1 amendments, the DMV would be required to improve its system by including counties in the information that one gives and which is recorded when they get a driver's license. The inclusion, of course, of counties would then make it possible to sort registrations by county so as to provide the information necessary for a jury lists. The bill was briefly discussed in the Ways and Means Transportation Regulation Subcommittee of Ways and Means. The unit cost was estimated to be only $500 to $1,000 for a whole tape spinoff, and this reduces the fiscal impact of the bill from the $51,000, which was originally estimated, to $500 to $300, $3,000 per year, depending upon how many lists were needed. In other words, the individual list cost was estimated to be $500 to $1,000. So, depending upon how many of those lists were needed. The cost of the improvements in the DMV system would be passed on to the purchasers of records from DMV, insurance companies, junk mail companies, etc., so that it would not be anticipated that this would be an additional drain upon DMV funds. I think you recognize that all DMV funds, anything that's spent in DMV isn't spent on highway improvements, because all the funding for DMV comes out of licenses, motor vehicles, and so forth, which, if it's not spent on DMV, has to be earmarked for highways. I hope that this you will agree with me that it is desirable to include as many, as large a cross-section of the population in jury lists. That provides, that increases the likelihood that juries will be well-balanced, and it has the additional benefit of not providing what is for many people now seen to be as a discouragement to serving on juries. I remember once going door-to-door and talking with a rather belligerent or loquacious citizen who was complaining about government, particularly about the courts and the way they released criminals and did all these things. And so then I finally, after listening to him for some time, gave my regular kind of spiel about voting, and I said, of course, you're a registered voter. And he said, oh, no, I'm not a registered voter. I said, why not? Because I don't want to serve on a jury. I let him have it, and his wife, who was back sort of picking ground, shouted out, go ahead, give it to him. He deserves it. So I hope that you will think that he does deserve it and that you will pass this bill.
All right, Senator Roberts, I wanted to ask you about the amendment here. If you could tell me about the Dash 1 amendment. Is that your amendment?
Yes.
Okay. On line 12, the way I read this thing, it says that this list would be furnished at the request of the clerk of the court. And does this mean then that each county clerk would have the discretion to order this list of additional prospective jurors or not?
No. Let me integrate this thing. Perhaps I could have my legislative aide, who actually prepared their instructions for me, to, I believe that another section of the bill requires that the jury list include these people, and Section 2 merely provides for the process of the clerk securing that information. Is that correct, Martin? The question that's raised is in line 12, at the request of the clerk, and the senator, the chairman, is asking, does that imply that the clerk has any discretion? This is Martin Pitione, my legislative aide.
It is my understanding that we did not quite intend that to be the case, to be that it is the discretion of the clerk of the court. From the discussion that I understand that took place in the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Transportation and Regulation, they said that they did not anticipate. I could have the folder.
Well, I think you answered the question in the bill, which is okay. This does not amend, which is in section 5, right. On page 7 on Senate Bill 733, section 5, page 2, lines 16, stipulates that the list, the source list, are the most recent list of electors of the county, the record furnished by the Motor Vehicles Division, as provided in this section. The jury source request list provided for in ORS 10080, and any other sources approved by the Chief Justice. So that is the obligatory part of it, intended to be.
Mr. Chairman? Yes, Counsel.
Well, I think that the obligatory language is found on lines 13 and 14 in the existing statute, which says the clerk of court shall cause to be prepared at least once a year a master list.
Yes, well, I was saying, and then, what the list contains is the rest of it.
Exactly.
That was my understanding. Yeah. And all the amendments, Dash 1, did was to provide the mechanism for securing that list.
The reason for my question, Senator, is, I mean, I think so much of this bill and the idea of it, and I have felt for 30 years that these people should be included on the prospective jury list. that I want to make sure that that's what we're really doing now and not just leaving it up to the whim or caprice of some county clerk.
That was my understanding. It's true, Mr. Chairman, that I tried to do this on a number of occasions in the past. In fact, kind of thought I had. You know, you get lost in the other house and you forget what's happened. And then I came upon because someone in one of the southern counties pointed out to me that they weren't doing it there. And I said, gee, they have to under the law. And he said, no, you look at the law, and they can use that list, but they aren't required to. And this was the we felt that the addition in Section 5 did then make it obligatory.
All right. We'll take a hard look at that to make sure it does.
Thank you very much.
Any questions of Senator Roberts? Senator Hamby.
My mouth is half open. Does he recognize me? Yes, I'm so pleased, Senator Roberts. I was appalled. You're aware that the schools are closing in Forest Grove 2 weeks early because of levee failure. And in going door to door, I was appalled to find out the number of people that refuse to register to vote only because they fear being called to serve on a jury. I couldn't believe it.
Now, if under this law, the only way you could keep off that jury list would be to refuse to drive.
Exactly. And I support the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Frank,
yes,
Senator Roberts, there's testimony here from Bill Linden, State Court Administrator, that he doesn't like the bit about, he dislikes it, pardon me for saying that, the part about volunteering for jury duty. Have I got the right bill?
Yeah, you're on the right one.
That's what I thought. And, you scared myself for a minute there.
No, that I had some question in my mind. I don't know why that language was included. There's hardly anybody left out of the jury list under this. The people who would be in it would be those who have driver's license of some kind and those who are registered voters. And I don't know what other people over the age of 18 wouldn't be included. The objection to allowing people to volunteer suggests that if a significant proportion of the jury list were people who had volunteered, you wouldn't have a representative cross-section.
Well, I thought this might be an inducement for my mother to move back to Oregon. She's always wanted to serve on jury duty, and she goes around volunteering, and they never call her, and she gets terribly upset.
And I really had the feeling that with both of these being obligatory on the list, the number of people who were left off and who would volunteer to drive might be so insignificant that it would not unbalance the jury list.
Counsel.
Well, if I read the language correctly, what people are allowed to do is volunteer to be on the source list.
Yes.
Not to volunteer directly to serve.
That's
so
right.
So that they volunteer to get on the same
they
list that the
part
voters
of the source
and the drivers
list
are on.
To be drawn. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. That's why I thought that it wasn't a significant addition. It might actually be some people didn't fit into these other categories.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Dog and cat owners who buy licenses.
next session.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's have Becky Hampton, please. Motor Vehicles Division.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Becky Hampton, Manager of Program Support Section for the Motor Vehicles Division. I have not seen Senator Roberts' proposed amendments, and my testimony today is based on the original version of the bill. You've actually had three copies of testimony that we sent down as various hearings were scheduled. So the one that I'm reading from today was dated May 7th. Senator Roberts explained the first part of the impact of Senate Bill 733 on the Motor Vehicles Division as far as providing lists of licensed drivers or people who've been suspended, revoked, canceled, denied. That part of the bill would take effect January 1, 1989. The other section of the bill that impacts DMV is Section 7, and it appropriates money from the general fund to the division to prepare to implement and to implement Section 2 of the bill. We have a few comments that are identified by page and line number. On page 1, line 6, it talks about the division maintaining a list for each county. We do not currently have in our driver system any designation of county code. So before the division could maintain a list, we would have to create a way to retain the county designation on the driving record. We've looked at several possible ways of doing this over the last couple of months. The most promising alternative seems to be some vendor software packages that go with computer programs that are available on the open market. And one of the ones that we've looked at would compare the person's residence address, the zip code of their address, and the city, and try and transfer that into a county designation. These programs could be as much as 95% accurate. The vendors freely admit that they're not 100% accurate. We may need to purchase this type of a software program to use in our vehicle system anyway, and if we did, we would assume that the cost of purchasing and maintaining county lists in the driver system would be reduced because of that. If we are required to maintain county code designators for 100% of the driving records, even that option would require some kind of an ongoing manual work and ongoing appropriations to the division to maintain that kind of a system. We also estimate that up to 25% of the addresses on our driver system at any time may not be current. Now, that occurs for a variety of reasons, but I think the main reason probably is the amount of time between when a person moves and they advise us that they have a new address. On lines 10 to 12 of the bill, we've had some discussions with the State Court Administrator's Office, and it's our understanding that they may want to be a little more restrictive than what's provided here. For example, the identification card that would be issued or that's referred to on line 11, it's possible that they may not want to include that if that card has been expired for any period of time. The State Court Administrator's Office also suggested to us that they may prefer some kind of a random sample of records on the driver system versus all 3 million records. On line 12, it provides that the clerk of the court would request the list from the division. Again, based on our discussions with the State Court Administrator's Office, we have assumed that their office would be the ones requesting the list from us once a year, and that they would in turn send the list to the county clerks. Back in Section 7 on page 3, the only comment we have is that future biennia would also require appropriations from the general fund to maintain that ongoing system and provide the list. The Motor Vehicles Division does not currently receive general fund appropriations. On the last page are a couple of alternatives that you may want to consider, two sections, 2 and 7. Since our vehicle system already includes county designations, a list of these could be provided without creating and maintaining an ongoing system in the driver's system. There are a few drawbacks to that option. We estimated that up to 30 to 40% of vehicle records do not include a person's date of birth, although for practical purposes, most vehicle owners are 18 or older. The county that's recorded in the vehicle system is the county of use of the vehicle, which is not always the county of residence of the individual, although county of use is, I think, used more prevalently for corporations or companies that have fleets of vehicles that are registered to a particular city but used all around the state. And last is that the date of birth of the person is not always available, and that there are multiple records on the vehicle system for people who own more than one vehicle. A second alternative is that our computer program that we already have in the vehicle system could be applied to driver records, which would create lists for the counties, which include all zip codes in the county. Now, we estimate that as much as 25% of the population in Oregon lives in a county or a zip code area where the zip code can cross county lines. This would mean that, that the counties would have to decide for the zip codes that cross those county lines whether or not the person resided in that county. That option also would not require creation and maintenance of any other ongoing system. Options 1 and 2 could be made available today without legislation if purchased from the division. The last item, the general fund appropriation to the Motor Vehicles Division could be avoided by instead appropriating funds to the State Court Administrator's Office. The State Court Administrator's Office would then purchase the list from us and be responsible for the ongoing budgeting of those funds.
Any questions? Council.
The Dash 1 amendments, and I have an extra copy so that I can give you one after we're through here. Where's my marked up copy? Delete Section 2 as it's currently written, and essentially provide that the DMV will add a county designator to the vehicle records. If you look on line 9, does that present problems for DMV? I assume that's something that we would implement over a 4-year period as people renew their licenses. Would it be difficult for you to add a county designator to your driver license system?
First of all, if we needed to do it by January 1, 1989, we couldn't implement it over the 4-year renewal cycle. Administratively, it wouldn't be difficult, but if, for example, we needed to have every application that we have, not just original license issuances and duplicate license issuances, and we've got some address change requirements and those kinds of things that would be additionally require that kind of a designation, then we would have to, in every instance, enter something to the driving record that we do not now enter. That could mean as many as almost 500,000 additional data entries per year. I don't know what that would amount to in additional workload.
Is it not possible that on the application form, the county designator could simply be a 2-digit number code that you could enter?
Yeah, we could do that, but I suspect that most people don't know. I mean, I don't know what Polk County 2-digit designator is. There's some other possibles as far as some computer interface programs and that kind of thing.
Are your data from your driver's license applications all entered by hand, or do you have machine-readable applications?
Most of them are entered by hand.
Okay.
Questions?
Yes, I did have one other question. That is, how difficult is it for DMV to work with the county clerks to make sure that this data can ideally be merged with the county's voter list so that you can, with a computer, create one list with no duplicates? Would that be difficult to do?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Carlson, I'm not familiar enough with what the county has on their voter registrations and how they store that kind of information to know how easy it would be to do that kind of thing. If it's all computer operated and there's some basic kinds of things for matching, like names and dates of birth that would be identical, it shouldn't be terribly difficult to write a computer program to do something like that.
Thank you.
Other questions? All right. I'm sure that you will be hearing from Senator Roberts' office, maybe his staff can work with you and see if there's some way to work around these difficulties. I'm sure that will be the case. Thank you. Kingsley Click.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, counsel.
While the next witness is coming up, I would call the committee's attention to the fact that the Dash 1 amendments also delete Section 7, which provides a general fund appropriation. Senator Roberts indicated that this program would be funded by an increase in user fees to commercial users, people who buy the DMV list to send us our junk mail and other valued things.
Why wouldn't that require action by the Ways and Means Committee?
It has something to do with the enterprise funds of the Transportation Department, if I understand how they're funded correctly.
I can make money.
Maybe it does, and he may have taken care of that, Senator Wires.
All right, go ahead, please.
Kingsley Click from the State Court Administrator's Office. Mr. Chair, I'd request that Brad Swank from our office be allowed to join me. He has information about DMV monies and as may relate to some questions about the amendment offered by Senator Roberts. Thank you. Overall, the Judicial Department is supportive of this bill because it would facilitate use of motor vehicles records as a source for obtaining names and addresses of potential jurors, and that is something that the Judicial Department has been attempting to do for the last 2 years. 2 years ago in the last session, the jury summoning service and selection statutes were revised, and one of the revisions had to do with increasing the source lists available to the courts. And in that, there was a provision that required public entities to supply these lists free of charge to the department. The department has requested and been unable to obtain without charge the lists of the Motor Vehicles Division. Therefore, we have not been able to add those lists over the past two years because this bill in its unamended form would allow us to obtain those lists. We have supported. We do have two problems with the bill in its unamended form. One is pretty straightforward on line seven of the first page. It speaks of the records of the division, the date of birth of each person over 18 years of age. Actually, the juror age criteria is 18 years and over, so we would request to be consistent with that the records be date of birth of each person 18 years or over.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry, that was a little too deep for me to pick up.
Right now, one of the...
A subtle distinction now?
Well, over 18...
On line 7.
Yeah. Over 18 means 19 and over.
19.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I don't agree with that. I mean, when you're 18 years and 1 second old, you're over 18 years. You don't have to be 19 to be over 18. Go ahead. Technical.
Well, there, it seemed that there were some ambiguities on this, and so we would rather clarify it than have people say, no, we just need to give them to you, 19 and older. The second part had to do with Section 3, which allowed people to request placement on the list. And we had some concerns about how this, what this would do to the randomness process that's presently in place. But the second argument, if you don't even get to that, is what are you going to add? If you have the people who are registered to vote and you have people who have their identification cards and driver's license, et cetera, and when we merge the list, what we're doing is purging duplicates. If you had this third list and they're already falling into one of the other categories, they're going to be purged off. We can't allow it to increase their chances so that it could be in there like three times, when they have a driver's license, when they're registered to vote, and when they've requested. I mean, what we do when we merge lists is we take off duplicates to the best of our ability. So when we merge the two lists as we'd like, the driver's license and the elector, we'll be doing it using, you know, our technical equipment. We'll be having tapes and merging it. And then if you've got a enter a third one, you're adding the costs, and I'm not sure it causing technical difficulties because these will be manualists, and I'm not sure that there's a gain to be gained. Did I make myself totally unclear? So anyway, like I said, we have two bases. One, in our testimony, we talk about what our problems are from a substantive law point of view, and I was just raising the technical point of view to you. To the amendments, we just received a copy as Senator Roberts' staff was going out the door. The significant change that we would like to raise concerns line 13 and 14 of the Dash 1 amendments, which speaks to the division furnishing to the clerk at a reasonable fee established by the division. And as I understand, the reason for this, as opposed to what the present law states and as this bill would state, which is free of charge, is because motor vehicles only has dedicated highway funds, and so constitutionally they don't have any money to fund giving us. And while we do not object to whomever's either buying the list or supplying the list having money to do so, we do take exception.